This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, January 12th. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. Colorado's red flag law is 1 year old. It was passed in 2019 despite controversy from gun rights advocates. But even law enforcement agencies in counties that passed resolutions opposing the law ended up using it. At least 112 petitions for extreme risk protection orders were filed under Colorado's red flag law during 2020. In 46 cases, judges granted permanent protection orders that required people to turn over their guns to authorities or blocked them from buying guns for a year, according to data provided to the Denver Post by the Colorado Judicial Department. Nearly all of the 46 cases were initiated by law enforcement officers. After the state closed the Supreme Court library in July as part of ongoing efforts to reduce the spread of COVID-19, free remote access to civil court records for all Coloradans became available from the Colorado Judicial Branch. A small silver lining to the pandemic, this has given reporters and the public access without driving to specific county courthouses or the Colorado Supreme Court's law library in Denver and paying a fee to have those documents printed off. Now, local journalism advocates, including the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition, Colorado Press Association, and Colorado Broadcasters Association are asking the judicial branch to continue this service at no charge to the public once the pandemic subsides. Please note, KVNF is a proud member of the CBA and CFOIC. The Delta County Commissioners passed a new land use code last week, the culmination of a two-year process. The 173-page regulations come with zoning maps for the public to understand what is possible on their land and their neighbor's land. Some members of the public felt the maps were not accessible enough on the county website, hard to read, or not clearly updated. KVNF's Kate Redmond spoke yesterday with Robbie LaValle, the Delta County Administrator.
Were the maps treated with the same date stamping and other conforming protocols, given that the maps, like the 173-page document, have regulatory effect?
The map of the county, not the individual area map, was on the website and was the one that individuals could look at and open it up. And there was no changes on that map, starting with what the Planning Commission certified, and their motion clearly said, and map, that was the map they were certifying. The area maps, that was the one that it took a few steps on DeltaCountyPlan.com to find. They were not readily accessible, as was the one certified map.
I asked Administrator LaValle where the county goes from here, given that there is now a moratorium on new applications for subdivision, zoning permits, variances, or rezoning until the land use code goes into effect beginning April 1st, 2021.
This is a living document. The land use code, as Commissioner Supa said, when they adopted it, there is a high likelihood that, you know, within 6 months, we'll be looking at an amendment to the land use code. And certainly as we have the Board of Adjustments in place, they will be taking a hard look at those areas that may need to be rezoned.
For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
Amid the pandemic, millions of people are experiencing food insecurity. Mountain West News Bureau's Robin Vincent visited a food bank for a look at the rising need in our region.
I'm standing inside the warehouse of the food bank for Larimer County in northern Colorado. It looks like a factory assembly line with people preparing and packing provisions for when the doors open in an hour.
Cookies, protein bars, coffee.
That's Ruben Mattes. He's filling bags with delicious and vital items. Every year, he travels to volunteer with the Red Cross and help with disaster relief. This year, he thought he was needed close to home. He started volunteering at the onset of the pandemic.
Just like to help, you know. I'm retired from the Army. I put in 20 years.
One look outside the warehouse and the need for volunteers like Mattes becomes clear. It's a scene playing out all over the country. A long line of cars snakes around the building. People have been waiting for at least a couple hours for the drive-up distribution to start. Amy Pisani runs the food bank. She says there's been a stunning rise in demand.
We have literally doubled the number of individuals that we're serving in this drive-up distribution between March and November.
You heard that right. They've seen a 100% increase in need. Today, they'll likely serve roughly 600 families in a matter of 5 hours. This food bank is part of the Feeding America Network. The national nonprofit says that amid the pandemic, 1 in 6 adults and 1 in 4 children are likely to face food insecurity.
Hi, how you doing today?
Very well. It's now 10 a.m. and staff members are standing outside in the cold to check in motorists. Right now, drivers wait roughly 30 minutes to pull up to the finish line where they receive food. Barb Landeck rolls down her window to chat with me here. In recent months, she started leaning on the food bank for the first time.
I am a substitute teacher and there are no substitute jobs, so I have not had a job since March. And the food bank has been my lifeline.
Around the corner, Cindy Gates sits in an SUV with her son. She had to stop working as a nursing assistant because she lives with high-risk family members.
The pandemic's made it very difficult, you know, and there's no resources out there for a lot of people other than the food bank. It's like, you don't want to do it because you keep thinking other people need it and other people are needier than you, but then you reach this point, it's like, I have to.
A few cars ahead, Kyle Gomez is waiting to pick up food for his 82-year-old mother. He's a caretaker for her. Before the pandemic, he also worked in landscaping. At that time, he was visiting the food bank once a month. Now he's here weekly.
If it wasn't for the food bank, I'm not kidding you, the food bank and, you know, some people helping, and she gets some food stamps, and that's helped us a lot. So we're managing to get by, but, you know, I feel sorry for some people that have kids and big families.
One of those big families is waiting in a minivan. Carla Espinoza is here with her mother. She says she didn't start visiting the food bank until her parents lost work due to the pandemic. Now she's here.
Every 2 weeks, really.
So you get food for your parents, and do you have siblings as well?
Yes, we have 2 younger ones and my older sister, and I have a baby.
The food bank's Paul Donnelly overhears me talking to some of his clients and makes an important point.
This represents the folks that are able to get out, have transportation. There's a whole subset of folks who can't get out, don't have transportation, that sort of thing.
So the food bank started taking on deliveries. They partnered with Colorado State University when classes weren't in session. When school resumed, the food bank built their own system. Donnelly stresses the service is limited to roughly 500 deliveries a month.
And that's a lot for the food bank, which is not built for delivery. We're built for distribution like we're seeing here today.
In other words, it's hard to meet the full need right now. And food bank staff say that need will persist long after all the vaccines have gone out. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Robin Vincent.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. You can hear all of our news archives on our website, kvnf.org. Special thanks to reporter Kate Redmond, and thank you for listening and for supporting local independent public media with your membership.